Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shrinix Performance Materials Limited conference call. We have with us today from the management of Shrinix Performance Materials Limited, Mr. Rahul Agarwal, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjeev Madan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Abhijit Sinha, Head Legal and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Madan. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Madan.
Thank you. Dear shareholders, investors, and analyst fraternity, we welcome you to this earnings call. Your company, Shrinix Performance Materials Limited, has declared its result for the quarter ended June 30, 2023, on August 10, 2023. We will brief you about the major highlights of the performance for this quarter. The operational revenue for the quarter is INR 543 crore, EBITDA is INR 53 crore, and margin stands at 9.7%. The net profit before tax is INR 43 crore, while the profit before tax margin is 7.9%. Our operational revenue and profit margins were impacted in this quarter due to fall in the prices of all the major raw materials by approximately 10% as compared to previous quarter, resulted in price and margin impact. This is all about the clarification and details about this year quarterly performance and financials. We can go now forward for the queries or any clarifications which are needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, in the quarterly presentation, we have given the volume sold or the produced during the quarter. So is it possible to share how much was the volume in the ABS as well as the PS segment for this quarter, as well as the capacity utilization for each of the segments?
Hi, Nirav. Is that all?
No, no, sir. I have a few more questions.
Yeah, yeah. So
should I continue? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Please ask all your questions and then I can answer.
Fine. Sir, along with if you can also share your outlook on the volumes, because I think Q1 we have seen AC sales down and for the entire industry, which could have impacted our volumes for ABS as well as PS, predominantly the PS side. So, but still we managed to grow our volumes on a Q-on-Q basis. So does exports play part here, or was there any reason for the same? So this is another added question to this. And if you can also clarify the inventory losses for this quarter, because we have seen a sharp fall in the styrene prices. Along with it, if you can also let us know, because I was just going through our earlier conference call transcripts where you mentioned in one of the remarks that we have 70% of our ABS volumes as specialized sales, as well as in PS it is 40%. So when we say specialty, what categorizes or differentiates them as a specialty for the customers as well as for us? Like how much extra margins we can make over and above the normal grids of ABS and PS? Yeah, that's it, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Nirav, for your question. You're right. In terms of quarter on quarter, we have seen an increase in volume, so we are gaining more market share. In terms of capacity utilization, in terms of what has been the kind of maximum production rate or capacity utilized in the past, we are finding opportunities to debottleneck the same and be able to produce more than has historically been the case with the company. The historical capacities which have been in place have been close to 70,000 tons of polystyrene and 100,000 tons of ABS is what has been kind of stated in the past. However, what we have produced in the past as a maximum in these plants has been not more than 45 to 50,000 tons of polystyrene and roughly about 75,000 tons of ABS. And when I say ABS, I mean ABS and sand put together.
Correct.
So about 120,000 tons. As you can see, in the last few quarters, we have produced and sold more than 40,000 tons. In fact, last quarter is the highest sales that we have achieved of more than 43,000 tons. So we believe that while the stated capacities would have allowed us to reach roughly, you can say, 170,000 tons, which would have been the nameplate capacities, we believe we can definitely get to that level very soon. The reason why the earlier management might not have been able to do is because of certain debottlenecking projects which were not done earlier, which we are doing currently. So this is going on. We believe that we are operating pretty much at the maximum capacity. However, additional output is still possible with minor improvements in the process as well as the plants, and that's what we are currently doing. With regards to you mentioned about AC sales being down for polystyrene. You're right. I mean, it's basically kind of a seasonal play, especially on the HIPS side, where you see larger demand from these appliance producers in the first quarter, which is Jan to March, and then you see some dip in the second quarter, and then you see some revival, you know, later on. But what happens is we are focusing on, multiple areas other than just the AC market. And we have not seen a huge impact because overall the market is still much larger than what we have been producing in the past. So we are finding applications in other areas effectively for both our ABS as well as polystyrene. And that's why the volumes are okay. Currently, we have not yet started exports. We are selling in India because from a total market opportunity perspective, we still believe that there is enough volume to grow in India. And we do believe that if you look at the case of ABS, being the preferred product supplier, we would definitely have better margins here. So it will make sense for us to increase our sales. On polystyrene also, we are a small player or smaller player compared to our competitors. So we do believe there is enough room for us to grow because there are still imports happening to the tune of 12 to 15,000 tons every quarter. So we definitely have, market which we can capture from that perspective. Inventory losses have been there. As you rightly pointed out, styrene is one of the key raw materials for all our products. And even other than styrene, butadiene and acrylonitrile, we have seen kind of a reduction in prices, which have been quite significant in the quarter. And that has led to inventory losses. So there is material, of course, which we would have in terms of our inventory. There would also be material which would be at sea, which would be at a certain price, after which we would have bought low material at lower price. But we would have to take the hit on account of that that entire inventory. And there would also be some impact on the inventory kind of a loss that we would have on the finished goods. So overall, yes, there is a significant impact which we would have had across the board over all our inventories. With regards to breakup of specialty versus commodity, as I had mentioned earlier, out of our entire business in ABS, 70% would be specialty, and in the case of PS would be 40%. That continues to be the case. When we talk about margin in the specialty versus you can say commoditized part of the business or natural business, it's hard to give you an exact number on what that margin would be because it does vary. But the margins could be anywhere from, prices could be anywhere from 10% higher to even 30% higher on the specialty grades vis-a-vis commodity products that we sell in the market. Again, it would be a function of volumes. There would be products where we would be supplying in lower volumes where the margins could be even higher than 30%. Similarly, in PS, we are moving more into the OEM segment, which is typically, better in terms of realizations. And as the plant for polystyrene has been producing lower volumes, we have had fewer OEM contracts in the past, but that is changing, and slowly we are looking to increase that share as well. There again, the contribution which would be coming from the OEM business or the specialty business of PS would again be similarly higher, as would be the case of ABS. So, yeah, that's. I hope that answers your questions, Neera.
Yeah, sir, just 2-3 clarifications. Is it possible to quantify the inventory losses for this quarter?
So we estimate the inventory losses to be around 15 to 18 crores, between the raw materials and the finished goods.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned about the debottlenecking. So I think we have enough compounding facilities, but so far as grafting is concerned and SAN is concerned, I think there were some capacities needs to be added to support our compounding. So has that exercise completed, and with this can the volumes be higher, or what's your take on that? So I just wanted to understand that part, because we do sell SAN also, the extra SAN which we manufacture in the market. So probably we might have SAN, but we don't have that grafting rubber, and because of which we may be selling those extra SAN in the market and the compounding facilities are not utilized fully. So if you can just share your views.
So with regards to the rubber, you are well informed, Neera. So with regards to grafting rubber, historically that has been the bottleneck. But in fact, every month we are able to get higher volumes. And, it's an ongoing exercise. It's not a project, but a series of projects which are underway to not only look at higher capacities, but improve efficiencies, improve even the quality to some extent, which can give better efficiency of the rubber used to make more ABS. So that's going on. With regards to SAN, we don't have any bottleneck. In fact, we have sufficient capacity to meet, our targets as far as the compounding, is already existent, as you know. So for rubber, again, we do believe that, within the course of this financial year, we would be able to achieve what is needed to at least meet that capacity, which is already indicated in terms of compounding.
Correct. So then probably we will see some uptick in our ABS volumes also accordingly.
We are already seeing that. Like I mentioned, we did about 43,000 tons last quarter. And if you look year-on-year basis, I think that increase is quite significant. Almost 20% higher. We have had 20 to 25% higher. In fact, last year, we might have even imported some rubber, and to that extent, of course, that policy also we have changed, and we are able to produce far more volume using our own products.
So just a last question before I join back. So what was our total sales volume in FY23, if you can share?
So it was about 157. Just a second. I have the number, but I'll give you an exact one. Yeah, 150,000 tons is what we sold last year.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and I'll join back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Agarwal from Akash Ganga Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First one is, in financial 23, the specialty segment revenue share in specialty segment is 67%, and polystyrene segment was 33%. So what could be the expected revenue mix going forward, and overall guidance on EBIT margins? And second question is, what is the trend in raw material prices? And what is the effects on the spreads? And my last question is, we understand that the entire promoter holding of 62% is pledged. So the pledge was created for acquiring the company from erstwhile promoters. So what is the plan to reduce the pledge?
Yeah, Ashwin, is that on?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ashwin, with regards to the spread between ABS and polystyrene, which is we mentioned as 67 and 33. So typically, we estimate it at 70-30, and of course, 2-3 percentage could be plus or minus. We anticipate that to be similar going forward into this full year. And we do believe that the volumes will remain split to that extent, and within a margin of, again, 4 to 5% here and there. As we already pointed out, we did see some reduction in EBITDA margins in last quarter, primarily on account of inventory shocks that we sustained. We believe those shocks have been dealt with to some extent or to a large extent. There might be some residual effect, but not significant in this quarter. We believe that if we eliminate that, then the EBITDA margins will go back to a more normalized EBITDA margin, which I've mentioned in my previous calls as well. We should, take care of that. As far as raw material pricing is concerned, raw material pricing did bottom out and again did go up a little bit. But, of course, it's still lower than kind of the highs that it had reached in the past. So we do see some upward movement in raw materials. But again, very difficult to predict how raw materials will behave, in the events of kind of a volatile global scenario, given, the war and given China's own demand supply scenarios. But having said that, we do believe that we will see more stability, slightly more stability compared to, say, this past quarter. As far as the pledge is concerned, as I mentioned in the past, as far as the pledge is concerned to the balance sheet or the, to Styrenix Performance Materials, it is at the promoter level and doesn't impact the company in any way. The promoters have sufficient resources to take care of that. And as per the strategy that we have in place, we will be taking care of it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavish Chauhan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, in terms of debottlenecking volumes, how much our volumes can go up? I'm talking about the one that we have mentioned in the presentation.
Okay. You want to go through all your questions, Bhavish, so I can answer all of them.
Oh, yeah. Second, sir, on dividends. So, last 2 years, we have seen very high dividend being paid from the company. What is likely going forward? I have these two questions.
Okay, with regards to volume, Bhavesh, like we mentioned that the nameplate capacity on compounding is about 1 lakh tons on ABS and about 70,000 tons on polystyrene. We do believe that with whatever debottlenecking is going on, we should come very close to those numbers, perhaps even exceed it. There is a little lack of clarity on exactly what that number will be. But it will be close to those numbers. So I think that is achievable in the near future. With regards to dividend policy, I think the dividend policy is a function of what the organizational's resource needs are and how those resources are best utilized. So if we believe that we do not need those resources for, the organizational expansion, debottlenecking or whichever plan, then we do believe that in that event, the money may well be, given back to shareholders and rewarded back to them. So as and when we believe that those resources are required for the next step of expansion and growth of the company, we shall utilize those resources and we shall have that policy in place. So there is no fixed plan in place to have dividends. It will be whatever is the most beneficial for the company as a whole, its plans, and of course the shareholders.
Okay, sir. So lastly, if I may ask one more question. Is this inventory loss are done with or there will be some more impact in Q2?
So majority of the inventory losses have been taken care of. We believe if there are, it will not be significant.
Okay. And sir, this inventory loss happen only because of sharp fluctuation or it can happen whenever the prices fall, from beginning to end of the quarter?
I think so there are multiple aspects in play. Of course, if there is an overall supply demand scenario in which there is of course continued pressure on your finished good pricing, the losses get exacerbated. Otherwise we are able to better handle it. So I think of course each time your raw materials fall significantly and you are holding inventory of higher stock, if you're not able to push through your existing stock and the prices are very elastic, which is the case for a lot of product, that can happen. But we also believe that as we move more into specialty segments, we move more into products where the impact is not so sudden, we would be able to better handle the shocks of inventories going forward. That will take a little bit of time, but you know, over a period of time, that will help us. It cannot be always 100% in our control, however, I must add, because there will be, you know, global supply chain kind of dynamics at play, which would impact our ability to handle that.
Okay, sir, got it. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Zaveri, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So, hi. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. I just want to know, sir, if I heard correctly, sir, you're planning to reach to 170,000 capacity, but last year we did around 150. So, are we having any capex plan going forward so that, you know, we can, because as we see, our capacities are getting utilized to the max. That's number one. And so what kind of EBITDA margin going forward can we assume? Because if we remove our inventory losses, that could be around 12%. So as we move a bit more into specialty, what kind of a broad range, you know, EBITDA margin can we think of? And what kind of realization loss that we would have had in this quarter? Like,
sorry, you're breaking up, Darshil. Can't hear you. I'm not able to hear you.
Mr. Zaveri, may we request you come to a network area, please?
Hi, I'm sorry. Is this better? I don't know.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask about our capacities. So we are maybe planning to expand the bottleneck, and that might add around 20,000 more capacity. But do we have any other major capex plans so that, you know, our capacities are increasing further because we are at the max, as well as our broad EBITDA guidance, because we are moving more into specialty, how would that impact our EBITDA?
Is that all, Darshil?
That's all.
Okay. So, Darshil, with regards to your questions on volumes, as I already mentioned, that we're looking to first try and target and meet the capacities which had been laid out for the plant. That is the first step. But the idea definitely is to go above and beyond that. We believe that with debottlenecking, the number can be higher. How much higher is a question. Currently we are not 100% sure, but we do believe that, the volumes will be higher to support a healthy growth rate for next year as well. So, I do believe that with very minor capex or very minor or with additional debottlenecking, the volumes can be higher than 170,000 tons. And, this whole process, I think, in the next couple of quarters will be clearer to us as and when we require to do more significant or larger capex in place. The idea is that we continue to grow at a healthy pace, which we did last year as opposed to the year prior to that. And so will we do so in this year and even for next year. So whatever, debottlenecking we are doing will add not only 20,000, but I do believe more. With regards to EBITDA margins, as you rightly said, if we had corrected for the inventory, it was, around your 12% mark. Now, the margins, of course, may be a little volatile and, again, hard to predict. But, the target would be, say, to reach closer to 15%, which I think is possible with the right product mix. So, when we would be able to achieve that on a sustainable basis will depend on our ability to do many things such as, ensuring that we are efficiently getting the maximum output from our plants, to add all the new products which we are currently developing and are on the verge of commercializing or have already commercialized, and adding more of those products to the mix. So I do believe in a short to medium term, that kind of EBITDA margin is what we would target.
And sir, if I may, sir, with regards to our growth, so can we expect a double-digit revenue growth? Could be around 10 to 15%. Would that be fair to assume?
So if you look at the volumes that we did year on year, last year also, even though we were effectively in management for only about 4.5 months, we did see a growth of, you know, close to 15 to 20%, you know, year on year. And we do believe that it would be the target of this company to do more than 10% growth for sure. You know, so the industry standard or the total market overall for ABS, you know, is growing between say 7 to 9%, and for polystyrene it's growing at, you know, 6 to 8%. I do believe that we can definitely grow higher than that, and that would be the target process. Well.
Sir, my last question. So what would be the realization loss, like a per ton realization loss that we might have had in this quarter due to the prices reducing? And are the prices of our finished goods stable now?
So the prices are quite volatile. You know, the prices are in sync with the raw materials generally. So, you know, it's difficult to give you per ton cost. But I think you would be able to understand where the EBITDA margins have gone, say, from previous quarter to this quarter. So, and I think 2 to 3% is what that would be, and that can be then calculated to what impact that would have had.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, sir. That helps me a lot, sir. All the best, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand what kind of capex one would have incurred if a similar capacity of, let's say, 1,70,000 ton was put up today.
Okay, go ahead, Pritesh. You want to ask other questions as well, so I can answer all of them in order.
Yeah, and usually, what kind of ROIC is possible on such a capacity, or, you know, if a businessman puts up this capex, what kind of ROIC one would look at?
Okay, is that all, Pritesh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pritesh, we have not done any exercise to understand what would be, you know, the capex for, say, 100,000 ton ABS or a 70,000 ton polystyrene plant. I do believe that similar exercise had been carried out by the company earlier, but the costs were prohibitive. So we are not sure if such a scale plant is any more viable, frankly. You know, so it might be that one needs to put up a much larger plant to get a minimum economic size plant up and running. This was the thought process of, you know, when the exercise was done prior to us taking over management control. We still need to do our fresh exercise to understand the numbers, because we may have a very different way of looking at what the capex should be. We do believe that, you know, given the Indian market opportunity and given our own kind of plant setup that we have, that we can still incrementally grow within, you know, within the same basic pre-existing infrastructure. You know, to add capacities without having to build, you know, a brand new, you know, 1 lakh ton or 2 lakh ton or 4 lakh ton plant. So, as a business case, maybe we may be able to do it more cost effectively given the infrastructure that we have. On ROIC, you know, I am not sure what it would be, because if we don't know the exact capex amount which will go, it would be difficult to calculate the ROIC on such a plant. We know that the earlier management, as you are aware, opted to build a 600,000 ton plant in China. And I'm assuming that would have been a more economically viable plant, giving the ROIC hurdles which they were looking for. It's just that our way of calculating what the capex would be and what the ROIC in turn eventually would be might be very different. So that exercise is ongoing right now at our end. But I don't have exact numbers to share with you, unfortunately.
Okay. And this plant, via debottlenecking, to whatever understanding that you have, can help you grow at this 8%-10% volume growth for the next 3-4 years? That kind of debottlenecking is possible, or that's too optimistic or not?
No, I think it is possible at least for the next 2-3 years. Beyond that, I think we have to see what can be done. But if you look at all our 4 locations that we have, we definitely can grow in one or the other location to make up the shortfall that we may have in an infrastructure in a specific location. So I think overall, the company can still target to grow at that level.
On my first question, since you mentioned that these plants are too small, so whatever is the economic size of the plant these days, let's say 3 lakh ton or 5 lakh or 6 lakh, whatever be that number, then what is the per ton CapEx cost at whatever that economically viable plant?
So I think the 600,000-ton plant was set up at what cost in China? Do we have that number? Okay. I think if you Google it, you'll probably find it. But again, it would be hazarding a guess, which I would not like to do on such a call, if you may appreciate. But you may be able to find that data online.
So now the economically viable plant are these large plants, 5 lakh, 6 lakh. Great.
This was the understanding of the previous management from what I can tell. Again, we are speculating a little bit, but I do believe that we can potentially even set up a 1 lakh ton economically viably, but that study is ongoing at our end.
Okay. And lastly, sir, these 4 sites that we have, we make ABS and TS at which of these sites then? Because one, we have rubber intermediates, epoxy compounding. So all the compounding is done at one place. That's how it is?
So sir, we have basically 4 sites, out of which 3 sites are towards the ABS, SAN, and you can say compounding facilities. So Nandesari is where we make the rubber, HRG. Katol is where we make the SAN. And Mokshi is where we do the compounding, where we not only do ABS, but now we are doing several blends as well. So certain more value-added products other than ABS. And Dahej is where we do the polystyrene, which is HIPS and GPPS.
So basically, you make ABS at Katol and Mokshi?
Yeah, between Nandesari, Katol, and Mokshi.
Okay. Okay. Done, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So I just wanted to understand your perspective on the specialty side of our business. So when we say that the imports happening in India for the ABS as well as polystyrene are because we have our capacities, but we require more than our capacities. So if we look at these imports coming to India and see our volume breakup, where does the competition lie? So do those volumes come in the specialty side of the business, or are specialty volumes so much custom-made for the customers that those competitions are not able to touch those side of the volume? So if you can just explain us in terms of our edge vis-à-vis those imported volumes coming to India, because at some point of time, we see China having a lot of overcapacities. They start dumping to India, and probably some margins get compromised. So what portion of our business gets immune even if there is imports coming from China? If you can help us explain that part.
Sure, Nirav. So if you look at, again, ABS and polystyrene being different businesses, if you look at ABS, like we mentioned, that 70% of our business goes into kind of specialty or customized products, and 30% is more of the natural product or the, you can say, standard products. When it comes to imports, those ratios are largely flipped. So you would see 70%-80% of product coming into the natural or commoditized product and about 20%-30% going into the specialized grades. So I think generally in the specialized or the customized product segments, there is a hesitation for customers in India to switch to an import. However, we can't do 100% specialty to answer that question because there will be always customers who require a mix of both. And hence, there is always some portfolio of the standard grades also that we supply into the market. But going forward, obviously the specialized or the customized products, if we have enough capacity to offer, would prefer to buy from us, and those volumes would be largely dependable in the face of imports coming from different countries.
Correct. So this 10 to 30% range what you gave us in terms of the specialty commanding higher realizations than the normal grade, that we can command at any point of time depending upon the prices of the normal grade ABS coming to India.
Correct. That is correct.
Correct. Sir, second question is on the power cost. I think last year our power cost was close to 93 crores. So is there a further scope of reduction here, because you mentioned that some of the initiatives in terms of cost also we are looking on. So is it possible to reduce cost of production even with the increased volumes, which can help us to improve our per kg margins?
Yes, a good question, Nirav. So the 93 crores, of course, is a combination of power and fuel. The fuel cost was high because, again, natural gas prices were much higher last year.
Yeah.
And they have tapered down a little bit. As far as power cost is concerned, as we are producing more, while power is a variable component, there is obviously a fixed quality about it, where if we produce more on, say, the same extruders, our per ton costs have come down. In fact, you would see that also on quarter, there would be improvement
yeah.
in that front. Going forward, we would see further improvements as well, and there are projects ongoing, in fact, to reduce that significantly in the future.
Correct. So, sir, like in between the quarters, how our natural gas prices have fallen? So, the cost for us have fallen because we believe that that is on a lag effect to us. So,
right.
So how much that have fallen for us in between the quarters?
So, around 10 to 15% they have come down on fuel again. Power cost would be stable on a per unit cost, frankly. In fact, there might be some small increases, but again, not significant. And there the reduction would be maybe 2 to 3%, in terms of having higher throughput. But again, that as we go along, we believe that will also come down further.
Got it, sir. And sir, just a follow-up in terms of our polystyrene, because sir, when we see the announcements of the global players of setting up their plants here in India, be it, let's say, Hitachi or other global players putting up their plants here in India, so we are at 70,000 tons of capacity. Once we exhaust that, like ABS, does that capacity also has a scope for debottlenecking where we can squeeze out some more volumes? Because I think the imports are coming to India, and these companies who are setting up plants here in India, being an OE, we can tap them and increase our volume. So if you can share your views.
No, absolutely, Nirav. It's very relevant, and we are cognizant of the fact that, India with Atmanirbhar PLI schemes would see a lot of capacity expansion, not just by Hitachi, but by several OEMs who are either already present or are setting up, a brand new kind of facilities in India. And since we are dealing with most of these companies at some level, we do believe that, there is an opportunity for us to grow. In terms of debottlenecking, possibilities, again, we do believe that going from earlier 45,000 tons to 70,000 tons, what we are looking to grow the business to itself is about a 30% to 40% increase. And, we do believe that even beyond 70,000, at least the location that we have in the edge,
yeah.
there is ample infrastructure and scope to increase those volumes even further. Now, whether that would come by way of a fresh greenfield, brownfield or debottlenecking project is something that we are working on currently, because we do believe that we can still, so to speak, sweat the asset more and even produce more volumes than what is the nameplate capacity. But that is something that we cannot really commit to today. But yeah, that would be the first priority, because that can be done at lower cost to the company.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chirag. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So India is a market for both our products. Means, are we still a net importer market? So let's assume we reach 2,25,000 or 2,50,000 production for both the products combined. In the next couple of years, will India still be a net importing market?
Go ahead, Chirag. You have any other question? I can answer.
Okay. Yeah, and the second. Yeah, yeah. And the second question is on the spread, sir. Are you kind of sharing what will be the per ton EBITDA or maybe the per ton or gross profit for both the products? Yeah, that's it from me.
Okay. So Chirag, with regards to ABS and polystyrene, the ABS market as per published sources as of last year was about 270,000 tons. We do believe that market is growing at 7 to 9%, depending on which estimate you believe. So ABS say goes 100,000 tons or a little bit more, there will still be sufficient room in the market to grow further. Even if you consider the installed capacity of the competitors or the other existing players in the market as we understand them. On polystyrene again. Kind of 3 lakh ton kind of a market where 10 to 12,000 tons again is still being imported every 12 to 15,000 still is being imported every quarter. So even if we grow to 70,000 and beyond, again that market is still currently growing, 6 to 8%. So there will still be room for us to grow, even beyond the numbers that we have shared with you. And the idea for us very much is to grow, beyond the numbers that we have told you, because we do see a very strong and robust, future for all the product segments that we cater to within the Indian market. As far as spreads are concerned, we have done away with the earlier reporting of different segments. We do believe that categorizing, the segments the way the earlier management was, was not appropriate. And we are not reporting on segment-wise. We are giving broad ideas about volumes that we are doing. But we do believe that within polystyrene, when you call something a specialty and something not a specialty, it obviously implies something which we do not wish to imply, because we believe that even in polystyrene, there is a lot of value addition which is possible. And that's what we are working towards.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to ask, are you open to meet like analysts or investors like individually if somebody comes down to Baroda or Hyderabad? Baroda rather.
Absolutely, Chirag. We are open to that. You can reach out to our company secretary, Mr. Sinha, and speak to your interest. And we are more than happy to meet with you and have further discussion.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from MB Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have this following question. One is, out of the total demand of both ABS and polystyrene we have, what is the demand of this specialized grade that you are mentioning? So what is the percentage of that demand in the country? So that is my first question. Second is, are we looking to supply this ABS to EV manufacturers also or not? Third, for any greenfield expansion to be done, what could be the asset turnover that can be expected in this type of business? And lastly, are we looking for any export opportunities? Thank you.
I think I got three of your questions, Mr. Rajesh. So maybe if I forget, you can remind me.
Okay.
So with regards to demand of the specialized ABS in the country, we do believe about roughly about 60% of the market in India is for specialized, or between 60 to 70% is going to be for specialized or customized products. And, we believe that if you consider the market about 2,70,000 to 3,00,000 tons, we can do the math. What that would be. And we also believe the market is growing at 7 to 9%. So we will see at least in the medium to short medium term future, that kind of a product mix. However, we are also pursuing blends, so we are doing other products or more value added products, just not just the specifically customized ABS, but ABS along with other polymers creating alloys, which would also be required already by our pre-existing or new customers, which can also add more value because we have a good understanding and very good R&D infrastructure which allows us to do testing of such alloys and, their success that we would be able to find by doing characterization and studies in their application, final application, which can be done at our lab. With regards to asset turnover of new plants, of course, it will depend on, what will be economic size plant and what will be the per ton cost. But broadly speaking, from what we understand globally, the asset turnover for ABS or polystyrene for ABS plants specifically would be 1:2 or 1:2.5. It could be anywhere from 1.5 or 1.75 to 2.5, depending on which technology, which product you do. But we have to do our own analysis of the same. As I already mentioned in one of the earlier questions, that we are understanding, if we do set up a newer kind of a greenfield or brownfield project, what would be the capex associated with adding that capacity? That would give us a good idea of what the asset turn would be. In terms of export opportunities, again, we do believe, having taken over management in the last eight months or so, that there is a very strong brand positioning that our company has in India. We are not currently being able to service the entire Indian demand. So, our first priority would be to do that. We also see, the growth in India as higher than most of the other, opportunities we see internationally. And I do believe that we would have higher realizations in India as well. So our focus would be here, but with time as the capacities grow and the volumes grow, export is something definitely that we would consider as well.
Sir, what you missed out was the supply to EV manufacturers.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. So as far as EV manufacturers are concerned, we are in fact, the number one supplier in that segment. All the EV producers out of, you can say, the top 10 or 15 EV manufacturers in the country, I would say, for at least 90% of the EVs, we have 70% market share or higher. So that's a segment which actually, on account of our, historically proven products in the ICE segment or the internal combustion engine segments, we have been able to establish a very strong market dominant position in the EV segment as well, which is also growing well.
So if I'm allowed two more follow-up questions, one is regarding the specialized grade. Whatever the nameplate capacity that we have, the question is, can we make 100% of that as a specialized grade only? So that is my first question. Second was, now in the case of ABS, see, currently the two players that we have, they have a capacity of around 1,50,000 or 1,75,000. Now the other competitor is also coming up with a capacity of 70,000 and expected to put up additional 70,000 in the phase 2 expansion. So once that is done, more or less, it looks like the three major players would be taking care of the domestic requirement. In such a scenario, would you be looking for any other new segment or products to diversify? That's all from my side.
Yeah. So, if we want to, of course, we can produce any products that we want in our plant. It's customized solutions that we offer to our products to our customers. But the reason why we still have a split of producing customized or specialized products vis-a-vis the standard products is because the customers do require a certain percentage of standard products as well. So we do participate in both the markets to some degree. It's possible that we may increase our share of the specialized market vis-a-vis the standard products. But it will all depend on market dynamics, how they move. But yes, if you look at you know, kind of the overall capacities coming into the market, and even with our own expansion plan, while it would seem that there is not enough room or for AVS, but I do believe that by the time we grow to the levels that we want to by debottlenecking, by the time the third competitor, as you mentioned, would come into the market is going to continuously grow at 7 to 10%. So that additional volume requirement is going to keep happening. So I believe the market is still going to allow for further expansion at our end. In any case, we are, like I already mentioned in another question, looking at adding blends or adding new products to our portfolio to reduce or rather to increase our you know, exposure in other segments to the same set of customers where we can have a broader product offering. So that effort is already ongoing, and in a sense that would reduce our dependence on specific products for sure.
Okay, so just a follow-up. ABS, the specialized grades are mainly used in the household plus the automotive industry. You mentioned that you are also trying out ABS with some polymers and all. Where they are used, the products are being used where?
So automotive, household, consumer durables, medical devices, engineering applications. There are many areas where the products would be going. Of course, EVs, things like that as well, and even the charging systems and all of that for that as well would be using it. The blends, again, would be primarily be in the same areas where we are already supplying EVs. So currently they are being satisfied by way of imports or other players, and we believe that if we have a good product to offer, then we would be the natural preferred choice, given that we are already supplying, to our existing customers.
Okay. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Sinha for closing comments.
Yeah. So, good evening, everybody. On behalf of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, I would like to thank you for showing your interest in the company and for joining this call today. We look forward to seeing you at our next call, which will be scheduled sometime in November. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.